And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Ladarius Robinson here with us as well on this Tuesday morning, live from First Horizon Park here in downtown Nashville. It is opening day for the Nashville Sounds. They'll take on Durham, the Durham Bulls, coming up at 6:35. I can neither confirm nor deny, Joe Rex Road, that Nuke Lelouch will be on the mound tonight for Durham. But opening day for the Sounds, we are live here this morning. I don't know, there's something about opening day in baseball, regardless of where it is, that just gets you excited. And I'm just looking at the field out here right now, the freshly cut grass, the diamond is out there. It's a good time out here at First Horizon Park.
It's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. Nice view from here. Yeah, you got to love opening day. No confirmation or denial on Crash Davis either. How old would Crash Davis be right now?
He'd be up there.
He'd be up there a little bit. Also, I didn't even know about this, but today is Tito's Tail Wagon Tuesday here.
Oh, yeah.
Bring your dog. Tickets start at $30, $25 for humans, $5 for your dogs. Proceeds will benefit a Gape Animal Rescue. I think Gus and Quinn may need to have a trip out here soon.
I think so. This could be a dangerous thing for me. My wife will want to be here all the time with the dog. So
all right.
maybe something we have to look at.
Yeah, maybe we can meet at Tito's Tail Wagon Tuesday.
Maybe we can. Gates open at 5:30 tonight if you're planning on coming out to First Horizon Park for opening day for the Sounds. The game is at 6:35. So exciting day. They're going to open up with a 6-game homestand here against Durham. And by the way, you may or may not be able to see Robbie Stanley on Sunday throwing out the first pitch.
Oh, boy.
Just a little tease.
Let's go, Rob.
So I'm trying to remember. So you actually threw a strike last year when you did it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. No.
So did I when I threw mine last year, guys.
See?
That's right. And Chase, too, right? Chase?
Yeah, I think Chase has ended up down the third baseline.
Speaking of Nuke Lelouch, with a little bit less velocity.
Yeah. Slightly less.
So are you going to try to outdo your first pitch from last year?
Well, see, you're throwing to the mascot, right? So I don't want to hurt people. So, but yeah, he's got a huge glove. I'm just gonna chuck it in there. It'll be fine.
He's protected anyway with you're fine.
That's true.
Let her rip, man.
Maybe I'll just go full windup.
You should.
Maybe something I do.
Maybe try it, but you can try it. Maybe try a slider or something. You know,
just give him the two.
Yeah,
it's coming in there. Yep, maybe throw the old knuckle curve that I had back at Hendersonville High School. See if that still works. Come on out today for the Sounds taking on the Durham Bulls. 6:35, first pitch tonight here at First Horizon Park. Joe, what a game last night in the national title game. Kansas gets it done. I know, much to your chagrin, the Kansas Jayhawks have won the national title.
Dollar bill, y'all.
They were down 15 at halftime, down 16 at one point in the first half, and they battled back in the second half to win 72-69, the fourth national title in program history, second for Bill Self. What a comeback by the Jayhawks last night.
Yeah, and a great game. It looked for a bit in the first half like North Carolina might run Kansas off the floor, which was stunning to see. You know, given North Carolina's one lack of depth, the fact that they're big, but Cott is banged up, and we saw that play out late in the game, unfortunately. And the fact that they were coming off this emotional win over Duke, but then Kansas, a little bit like the Miami game, Kansas just turned it on the second half, and they're a worthy champion. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's a worthy champion. A terrific performance. Remy Martin last night was just massive. Arizona State transfer. A lot of guys. McCormick. I thought North Carolina actually made a couple mistakes, letting McCormick just have his way in there late when they should have just doubled him and said, okay, beat us with a shooter. But whatever. I had a tweet all ready to go. You know, after a long haul, Hubert Davis has finally drawn even with Bill Self in national championships. But it never saw the light of day, so Dollar Bill gets his second title.
Dollar Bill gets his second title. What a comeback last night for the Jayhawks. I will say, you brought up Bacot. I mean, the gym floor video of him planting that right foot was not good. I mean, the whole floor, like, basically caved in.
Terrible.
And his foot goes down. And I started thinking to myself, all right. These stadium games are great, but my goodness, the floor, you got to have a little bit more support than that. There's no reason for the gym floor to basically cave in on a guy when he's driving to the basket.
No, and of course, yeah, a lot of reactions are going to be, please stop playing these in football stadiums. Let me promise you, it won't stop.
It won't.
You can fill an entire football stadium, which means you can fill both sides of the suites, which means you will keep doing it and making a ton of money, even though like 10% of the people have good seats to actually watch the game. But that's embarrassing. That's ridiculous. How could you possibly have a floor at a national championship or any NCAA tournament game where the floor buckles on a guy and directly, I mean, it was directly related to him getting hurt and leaving the game, and really you could say directly related to the outcome. Terrible. So hopefully that gets answered here soon and dealt with, because, I mean, you can't have that. Like, how could you possibly have that for this situation?
Ron, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if you would have bet on North Carolina, you would have won. They gave North Carolina plus +4. So maybe feeling a little bit better out there today if you bet North Carolina plus +4.
Yep. Win. Yeah, no. Yeah, if you bet Kansas, that's a tough one, man. They win it. You're a Kansas Rock Chalk Jayhawk alum, and you put it all in the Jayhawks, and then they don't cover for you. But I guess you're probably feeling all right still.
Got a texture that says, the Blue Bloods got to win titles every once in a while to keep the hate flowing. It's good for the game to have villains like Kentucky. So some Kentucky shade, even though Kansas just won. I like it.
Okay, also, let's relax.
Also, North Carolina's a Blue Blood, so
that is true.
That would have been fine. I mean, Hubert Davis, heck of a turnaround in year one, and very likable coach.
I was telling you before the show, the middle of the half interview that they do in these tournament games, which is largely the biggest waste of time, not even just in basketball, but they do this in football sometimes too, and in hockey, and it's largely a gigantic waste of time. I really enjoyed Hubert Davis last night. He was fired up in that interview with Tracy Wolfson. That was maybe the greatest television mid-game interview I've ever seen, outside of, like, you know, Greg Popovich yelling at people,
yeah,
or something like that.
What did he say? It was like,
it's live action.
It's live action out there. Here we go. Oh man, yeah, that was good. I was like, finally, one of these is worthwhile. But the thing that stinks about it is now that'll like probably encourage them to keep doing it, because I really would like them to stop doing it.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I mean, most of them are just like, yeah, I've got to get out on the shooters. Okay, all right. Can I go back to my team? Okay.
We're getting good shots. Just got to start making some of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well said.
Got to box out. Box out the free throw line.
But I really like Hubert Davis. I don't know if I like Hubert Davis enough to, like, continually root for North Carolina moving forward. And I could just go ahead and answer that question. I don't like him enough to go ahead and continually root for North Carolina moving forward. But much more high on the higher on the likability
much
scale.
Much more funner.
Yeah, much more funner on the likability scale than Roy Williams and Coach K.
Yeah, no doubt.
That Roy was crushed last night. Was as happy as he was the other night, but he was crushed last night.
Poor Roy. Yeah, and I mean, I think Hubert Davis, that will continue to be the case with John Shire as Duke's coach, and you got Dollar Bill, you got Cal. Again, I mean, I've liked Cal more over the years as time has gone on, but I'd say Hubert would be easy. And now Villanova is not a Blue Blood, you know, although people tried to say they were going to the Final Four. But if you want to go top programs, Jay Wright's probably as likable as anyone in that way.
Yeah.
And then, our special guest, regular show analyst, Tom Izzo. Let's not forget him. I think he'll be on later to break down the game.
I think so, too.
Maybe 2 hours today.
2 hours today.
Yeah, we're going to get him and Vrabel in a little point counterpoint, kind of like get up.
They were the first two there at the pre-show meeting we had today. So
yeah, exactly.
Beat us in the house.
Be like Stephen A. screaming at Skip, you know, Izzo at Vrabel. It'd be awesome.
I got a texture that says there's a Houston furniture business owner who won $10 million off Kansas on a $3.3 million bet. That's a pretty good day.
Wow.
You imagine having enough disposable income to bet $3.3 million.
Yeah, something. That alone, you're feeling good anyway. My goodness. A Houston what owner?
Furniture store. Jeez. Apparently.
Okay.
Better be a pretty darn big furniture store.
That's selling some sofas. Nice work.
$3.3 million bet, win $10 million. That's quite something. So what does this do for Bill Self in your mind? National title number two, obviously, we talked a lot about Bill Self yesterday and some of the stuff that he's got going on regarding some FBI investigations around his program. And now he's won his second national title and the fourth in program history at Kansas. What does national title number two do in your mind, or does the chatter around him right now maybe hurt that a little bit?
Well, look, it validates, I guess, like Kansas's decision to say, you know what, I don't care what you've done, you're our coach. Because yep. If you win a national championship, well, again, like in Will Wade, now LSU set up that whole thing so that they could fire him with cause and everything. But honestly, I think had Will Wade won big in this little sort of like limbo period he was in, I think he might still be in Baton Rouge. And so for the Kansas fan, you know, I mean, it's you're good with Bill Self. I mean, he's had tremendous consistent success, which really is like you have to go with that. And not just like regular season, winning the Big 12, where you're like, you know, he's been to Final Fours and all that stuff. So, I mean, he's been tremendously successful. But now, to me, you know, he's in that select group. There are not a ton of coaches who've won more than one title. So you've got that, and then the rest of college basketball will point to them and say, now, can't wait for you guys to have a postseason ban next year so you can't defend your title, because that's probably coming. Look, Bill Self is not an island here. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Bill Self and the way that program has been run is kind of business as usual. And that top tier, when you're going after the absolute cream of the crop guys who could go to the NBA if not for the NBA rule that says they can't go to the NBA. And that's just the reality of doing business. You know, again, it's a reality for Krzyzewski too. So it's just that, again, I mean, I still put it around Cal. Like, people want to have bad guys and think everybody else is good guys, and it's a bunch of gray. But congratulations to Dollar Bill.
Joe Rexroad, a big fan.
He's a good coach.
He is.
He's a real good coach.
Very good coach. We'll see what happens.
and he's about to be on probation and probably be suspended. That's just how it goes.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll take a look at Joe Rex Road's top three storylines in this state for college basketball looking into next season. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Coach, how would you assess what you've seen?
Pretty fun game, isn't it? We're competing out there. It's live action, Tracy. It's live action out there. I thought we were nervous at the beginning. Then we started to settle in. We got better defensively. Now we're attacking the basket. We're ready to go.
Are you okay with how Bacon is right now?
He's doing terrific. I'm so proud of him. I told you, 52%. Him on the floor is good news for Carolina basketball.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Hey, it's live action. It's live action.
I think he was so pumped. I think he was going to tell Tracy to get in there and put a blue shirt on.
I thought he was Hulk Hogan.
That was Hubert Davis last night in his interview with Tracy Wolfson. He's bringing the passion, as Crispy would say. Big time bringing the passion last night.
That was pro wrestling like, kind of.
It was. It was awesome. Well, just in time for WrestleMania.
That's right.
Maybe Hubert Davis was inspired by WrestleMania.
Maybe he taped that Saturday. Maybe so. Watch it after the Duke win.
I got a texter that says, let's not make North Carolina be so pure. Remember how their players never went to class and were giving out grades like candy? Went on for many years. This is coming from an unnamed texter on the text line. As we know, and it's been made very clear, Duke is the only program that does things above board. Just ask Coach K.
Yes, they do things the right way. But, yeah, no one's calling anybody pure. And yes, it was a fake one area line of study that a lot of athletes went through, and yeah, it was ridiculous. And that was one of those. The NCAA decided, you know what, we just can't even touch that one, which I kind of get. But regardless, I know a lot of people were upset about that. But let's remember how much the NCAA struggles to enforce things anyway. When you don't have subpoena power, you have a problem from the start. But yes, there are, you know, people cutting corners all over the place.
There are. So Joe Rex Show, college basketball season now officially over with the national title game finished last night. What are your top three storylines here in our state for college basketball as we begin to look ahead to next season?
Well, see, course, I came up with this idea, and then I'm like, but now that I'm not sure about this, this, and this, because, of course, there's still a lot of team, like, a lot of things we don't know about rosters. But number one, to me, is easy, and it is, can the Lady Vols return to the Final Four? I think that's your best bet of all the college basketball teams in the state next year of having a, like, a championship run would be Kelly Harper's fourth team at Tennessee. Returning Tamari Key, returning Jordan Horston, returning a lot of other good role players and young players, good freshman class, but then also bringing in Rekia Jackson, Jazzy Powell at point guard. You know, Rekia Jackson, top scorer in the SEC, Jazzy Powell, really good point guard for Minnesota, who I think will really help both of them, will help a ton. And then Justine Passat, you don't want to put too much on a freshman, but you're talking about, you know, a freshman who could be an instant, huge part of, you know, Tennessee success. So that's my number one.
ESPN.com came out with their way too early rankings for next year for women's basketball the other day. No. Tennessee was at number 8.
Haven't seen that. Okay. Now that you say that, I want to go see that.
That's South Carolina at number 1, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. And that's the thing, too, is will Tennessee have the type of team that can actually challenge South Carolina? And there, you know, there's plenty of reason to say, eh. Is anybody going to challenge South Carolina? But I think Tennessee will be the second best team in the SEC, and that absolutely can be good enough to be a Final Four team. And obviously, it's been a long time. Number two, I'm sticking with Tennessee. I'm sticking with the Vols because, and this is where you start to get into right now what we think in a month from now can be different. There's the portal going on. But can Tennessee be, you know, a contender, a team that could make a Final Four run? I mean, I think it's going to be obviously tougher without Kenny Chandler, which I think will be the case for Tennessee, but that still isn't confirmed yet that Kenny Chandler's gone for sure. Obviously, if he were to come back, then I would probably flip-flop it and say they might have the best Final Four chance, and I know what the answer back is. I get it. I absolutely get it. But as of now, I would just expect Chandler to be gone and be drafted. And it's still a really good team. Again, I got Vescovi and James coming back, checking out how they match up, you know, how they compare and how they rate with the NBA guys. And I think those bigs could make a big, big step for them. And, you know, I think that there's a possibility – Of course, Rick Barnes making a big score in the portal. If that's the case, and probably specifically at point guard, although Zakai Zegar can play point guard, but I think you need someone else with him. And if you get that, you could have a dynamite team. And, yeah, it'll be like Ryan Tannehill in this town. Okay, do whatever you want to do, and then we'll go ahead and just be skeptical until you actually do it in the postseason. And then number three is Jerry Stackhouse's fourth team. Can they make the NCAA tournament? And a lot of other good storylines, good teams next year, but I'm sticking SEC with these. I think that this is another one where, you know, Stackhouse was on DDC yesterday.
Yep.
He didn't sound altogether resigned to Scottie Pippen Jr. going to the NBA. And look, I mean, Scottie Pippen Jr. is not going to get first-round feedback. He's going to get feedback that says, yeah, you might go in the second round. I mean, I think that that's – and I think he has a decent chance to go in the second round. But, you know, you can come back for your fourth year, get a degree. You don't have this pressing financial need to leave. And I don't know how much he's going to improve his stock by coming back. That's the question. But you could have a great experience. And if he does come back, I think that's a really strong bet for a team to make the NCAA tournament. I mean, I would absolutely expect that team with him back to make the NCAA tournament. I'm not convinced they won't make it without him. But again, what's the portal yield? Because you got to get in the portal. And it's not as easy at Vanderbilt to get in the portal. But you can do it. And Stackhouse did it last year, too. And got Rodney Chapman and Liam Robbins, pretty good couple additions.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, my favorite storyline is the transfer portal helping the Tennessee teams. My question for you off of Heidi's point there is, what do you make of the challenge now in front of Casey Alexander and Belmont with the transfer portal not necessarily helping them at the moment, although there's still some work that they can do in that area.
And Belmont is my honorable mention. The Belmont men, by the way, the Belmont women are going to be really good again. Some point they might just be in a Sweet 16 with that backcourt. Just terrific. They do have a couple key seniors, but that's really good program. Certainly one to watch, and a second weekend at some point really possible for them. But yeah, Belmont men. I mean, you're talking about you're talking about massive losses. When you talk about Will Richard and Jacoby Wood, it's tough, man. I mean, those are big, big losses. Now, they did pick up in the portal Keyshawn Davidson.
Yep.
Averaged 10.4 and shot 40% from three for Tennessee Tech last year. So, this is how it goes, okay? Power Five teams, I think Will Richard might end up like at Florida. I mean, I'd heard that there was some Tennessee interest. I haven't seen much of that materialize, but like that's the level of player he is. So you lose a guy like that to possibly a Power Five or Power Six team, high major team. You go to Tennessee Tech, you grab one of their best players. That's just how it is. And of course next year, huge storyline with them in the Missouri Valley. And it's not an ideal probably like roster to take into the Missouri Valley. This year's team would have been better if you could time it out, but it's going to be really interesting with Casey Alexander, and I think he's got more recruiting potential now in the Missouri Valley. They're going to be in the Chicago market. There's a lot of good things about it, but they may take some lumps early.
Well, and I'm interested to see Shea Ralph in year two as well. How can
no doubt
he continue to make some progress there? I was pretty impressed by what they did in year one. People say, well, it's the WNIT. Year one, where that program was, it's not bad for Shea Ralph.
No, not at all. And they were very shorthanded. And you made a WNIT run without Brene Alexander. Really like a couple of those freshmen for sure. Moore and Washington, really like them. Jordan Cambridge coming back is huge. Good recruiting class. We'll see. We asked Shea Ralph last week, you going to get in the portal? She said, they're going to get in the portal. Everybody's got to get in the portal. Is that an NCAA team next year? I mean, that would be a huge leap. That's probably asking a bit much, but I think a winning record is certainly on the table. And I think that program over the next few years, definitely one to watch. I think there's a lot of growth potential with that program.
Coming up next, we'll look ahead to a massive game tonight between the Nashville Predators and the Minnesota Wild and ask the question. Why are so many former Preds lighting it up for the Wild when they didn't necessarily light it up here? We'll get into that coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Golf's first major is a tradition unlike any other, and now you can bet on who you think will go home with the green jacket at Augusta coming up on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get 30-1 odds on 2015 champ Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, or Dustin Johnson to make the cut at Augusta. That's right. If any of those players make the cut, you win big. Tiger, we'll see what happens with him, whether or not he decides to play coming up this weekend in Augusta. But I really like Dustin Johnson, not only to make the cut, I like Dustin Johnson to win this tournament. But you take it any way you want to take it. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook and take a swing at betting the first major. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app using promo code ROB to get 30-1 odds on Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, or Dustin Johnson to make the cut at Augusta. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tomorrow on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Joe, big game tonight for the Nashville Predators. They'll take on the Minnesota Wild at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And you look at the standings. We talked about this yesterday. The Wild have been hot as of late. 9-0-1 in their last 10 games. They are now 9 points ahead of the Predators in the standings. Both teams have played 68 games. And you look at the Wild, number one, I think it's going to be challenging for the Predators to catch them at this point. Although, you play them two more times in the regular season, you win both those games in regulation, and maybe you've got a chance at that point. But look at some of the top producers for the Wild this year. Kevin Fiala, 61 points, 23 goals, 38 assists. Ryan Hartman, 53 points, 27 goals. Freddie Gaudreau, you all know Freddie Gaudreau around here, Stanley Cup final hero, 10 goals, 22 assists, 32 points. That's a whole lot of former Predators doing some damage for the Minnesota Wild this year. And it's interesting, the Fiala one, I guess, doesn't surprise me all that much, because I think we always knew that Kevin Fiala was an uber-talented player, and it's hard to think about. I think he's only like 25 years old right now. It feels like he's been in the league for 15 years.
God, is he really still only 25?
But it's one of those things where you could see it coming with him and the talent that he has. The Hartman and Gaudreau part of this is pretty incredible. Like, Ryan Hartman has 53 points this year for the Wild, 27 goals in 68 games. Freddie Gaudreau with 32 points. I mean, you're talking about a guy in Gaudreau's case that was obviously a great story in the Stanley Cup final, had 3 goals in the Cup final against Pittsburgh, and after that was basically a fourth-line guy, kind of a tweener for the Predators between the AHL and the NHL, and now he's a regular contributor for the Wild. Ryan Hartman, first-round pick in order to get him if you're David Poile, and I would say his production in return was underwhelming, to say the least, if you're the Predators. So all these guys are lighting it up there for the Wild. By the way, they're coached by Dean Evason, who used to be the coach of the Milwaukee Admirals in the Predators organization as well. What do you make of all these former Preds going to Minnesota and just lighting it up right now for the Wild?
And, of course, they used to have a GM named Paul Fenton.
They did.
Very familiar with this organization. Yeah, I'm with you. Fiala, you knew when that deal was made for Granlund back in 19, right?
Yep.
19. You know, that this would be possible. And David Poile said it on that day, too. He's like, you know, this could look different a few years down the road. And look, I mean, I think Fiala's about where I would have guessed. He's good. He's always been very talented. I don't know which is more stunning between the other two. I mean, Ryan Hartman ever having he could have a 30-goal season. Never saw, when he was here, any sign of that. And I know that his, you know, rookie year in Chicago, he had, 19 or something. But, I mean, never saw any inkling of that. But I think Freddie Hockey might be more surprising even. I mean, great story. Incredible story. Catches fire. He has to be pulled into the lineup for a just terribly banged-up team that almost won it all, and he's just doing ridiculous things. But, it was pretty apparent, I'd say, pretty quickly the next year. You know, he's on the fringe. He's a fringe guy trying to keep himself in the league. I would not have guessed that Freddie Gaudreau would at any point be a regular and a nice, productive, you know, player for a really good team in this league. But here he is. Good for him.
Yeah. No, it's a great story, like you said. And all three of those guys playing really well for the Wild this year. And you'll get, when this happens, some Predators fans look around and say, all right, well, why are they productive elsewhere and they weren't productive here? Now, sometimes it's as simple, like in Fiala's case, of I think he's grown up a little bit and has matured a little bit and he's put it all together and now he's a really good player. Like, he could end up with 70 points this year for the Wild. He's at 61 right now. But like we talked about, I mean, he's a guy that's always been uber talented and he's 25 years old. So he's just now starting to really come into his own in the NHL. But guys like Gaudreau and Hartman, why are they so successful elsewhere and you couldn't find a spot here? Now, there's Predators fans, and this is not just a Predators fan thing. It's a world of sports thing where you take it to the extreme of, well, that just must mean that the Predators can't develop forwards and all this stuff because every time somebody leaves, they go off and they play better elsewhere. And that's not really the case. Kyle Turris left here. He was worse in Edmonton than he was here. Wayne Simmonds left here, and he's been since he's left here. So it's not just
he was
like,
on the back end.
Yeah, he's on the back end, and he's still playing for Toronto. But it's not like there's been just this mass exodus of Predators players that have left here had gone on elsewhere to be great. Now, that has happened sometimes. I mean, you traded Patrick Hornquist, who was really good here, and he went on and won two Stanley Cups, including one at your expense at Pittsburgh, and scored the goal in that game. So there have been some times where it's been greener pastures elsewhere from the Predators as players have left here. I don't think that this is like some major indictment on the Predators that Freddie Gaudreau and, you know, Ryan Hartman are out there lighting it up.
Right. Oh, it's also, obviously, it's a different system and coaching staff too, like for these guys. The Hartman one is, it's really curious to me. Like, was he by Peter Laviolette misused or something? I mean, I think the answer is probably just that he just wasn't in as good a place, whatever, on the ice, off the ice, whatever it was, as he is now. So again, good for him for figuring it out.
But because again, remember, he went to Philly after here, and it was basically the same. Like, he wasn't
right.
Wasn't this good for sure.
So he just found. Sometimes you just find a, you know, you find a place and you flourish. And by the way, it's not like, I mean, how old is Hartman? Like, if you asked me, Fial, I would have said like 27,
yeah,
which is what Hartman is, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, so when the Preds traded for Hartman, he was 23. But you can also look at, you know, you can look at like a Duchesne here. I mean, he's having his best season now with the Preds at, yep, his age. So, you know, you just never know. Sometimes you just get into a groove and you find, you find a good situation and you take off. I just, like Hartman, I would not have guessed that he would be this level of player. So, I'm sure it's also, again, it's possible. No one ever wants to acknowledge this. It is possible, even when you're a professional athlete, to improve.
It is. Dan from Clarksville texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If players are leaving the Predators and going to other teams and being high performers, then maybe the coach was the problem to begin with. I guess going back to Peter Laviolette.
Yeah, I mean, his track record's not bad.
It's not.
And he's got, you know, he's got a cup, been to some cup finals,
three cup
with
finals,
different teams. So, yeah. But look, maybe for specific players, well, maybe they don't fit as well with him. That's,
let's look no further fair than Mikael Granlund. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that basically from the minute John Hines got hired until now, Mikael Granlund has been a much different, much better player for the Predators. Now, is that some huge indictment on Peter Laviolette? Well, maybe for Granlund's case, yeah. But I do think there are players that fit in better with coaches' systems than others.
Yeah.
And I think Granlund is a pretty shining example of that. Now, he would probably argue as well, if you're Granlund, well, yeah, the ice time helps. Like, you give me 20 minutes a night and I can actually play, that'll help me be productive.
Yeah, but I mean, when Laviolette was here, I mean, I know, as I watched Mikael Granlund, I was like, explain to me his numbers in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't see it. What am I missing here? Like, what was not working? And then all of a sudden now, it was almost instant. Hines comes in, you're like, oh, wow, he's good.
Yeah.
So that's a great example of player and coach is fitting together or not fitting together. Then you got Turris, who, as it turns out, just I guess I asked the same question, and then you keep asking it. I mean, I don't get it.
Just, it feels like he just totally fell off the wagon.
Yeah. He had a great, like, month, and then it was like, he's just not effective.
Yeah.
I don't know. He always seemed, like, here, when I watched him, I said, like, you have to be more physical than that, right? I mean, he always had some speed, but I guess he lost a little bit of speed, and then, boom, you take that away from your game, and you're not physical at all, and what do you have?
Yeah. No, it's a great question. And, you know, look, if you're the Predators, have you let some guys get away that – maybe in retrospect, you probably shouldn't have in the history of your franchise. Oh, yeah. Like, think about Sam Girard right now. It'd be pretty nice to have Sam Girard here.
Speaking of Turris.
Speaking of Kyle Turris. I mean, it'd be pretty nice to see what he could do here right now with this defense corps. So, look, I mean, you make mistakes along the way. It's just the Ryan Hartman thing in particular is amazing to me. Like I said, it doesn't surprise me that Fiala has gone to Minnesota and now has started to figure things out. I mean, you could tell from the moment that kid stepped foot on the ice, he was really talented. And he had some flashes here with the Predators where he looked really, really good.
He was playing well before he got hurt in 17
yeah,
playoffs.
I mean, he looked really good. I mean, it's one of those things where, like I said, a little bit more maturity, he started to put some things together. And Looks like he's going to be pretty good for the Minnesota Wild for a long time to come. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Looking ahead to a big game tonight for the Predators against the Minnesota Wild. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 16th. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're there. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dustin from Hopkinsville texting in says, Fiala developed an attitude here. It wasn't healthy anymore for either party. The talent was there. I'd say it was the way Laviolette ran things for Hartman and Freddie G. They can have the 10 goals. Ultimately, your leaders of teams are contagious. I feel the Preds program might baby some of their players. It's like one of those jobs that's a great place to work, but coworkers get away with a lot. Hence the players begging for Poyle to keep them together. And he did. This coming from Dustin from Hopkinsville. Now,
jeez, there's a lot to unpack with that one, Dustin.
There is. Now, the begging to keep together was, again, after they won the President's Trophy.
Yes. So, yes.
There's not – I mean, obviously knowing what we know now, maybe you should have done something different. But at the time, it was difficult to argue keeping that group together. They'd just been to a cup final and won a President's Trophy.
So you're saying, Dustin, they weren't asking to be kept together because they thought they could win. They want to be kept together because it was a big romper room and they were like having food fights every day? What are we talking about here?
Food fights. There's not enough food fights anymore.
I mean, maybe, yeah, a little throw some poutine at each other. Yeah, they get a little messy. I don't know. I don't know about that, Dustin.
Hey, look, it's obvious that they did feel like an attitude adjustment was needed in the room because they shifted a lot of things around, and that's what John Hines did when he got here, was kind of mentally get these guys in a different spot, and I think you're seeing that pay off a little bit right now if you're the Predators, but I don't know that it was because they have, like, this big soft work environment or something like that.
Yeah, like the Preds program might baby some of the players. First of all, like, so – obviously, again, there's different coaches. I would say that I would, from Laviolette to Hines, I don't know. Is it tougher? It's a different, it's a very consistent emphasis on a style of play.
Yeah, it's a much different emphasis on that.
So, but, you know, Laviolette could be tough.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hines can be, too, in a, kind of a different way. Maybe a little bit more even keel kind of way. So I don't know what, but I don't know about babying. You know, I mean, look, in all pro sports organizations, there's a certain level of probably leeway. It varies from you know, place to place. But I don't know. As far as the Fiala attitude, I think that actually got better when he was here. In the right, I mean, he was really ticked off by going to Milwaukee and everything. I thought, yeah. I mean, he is Fialander.
He is.
Always will be. Like, I would imagine that his hair product costs like $1,000. Yeah. Just like a little tub of it. That's just my guess.
I mean, I ran into him one time at Opry Mills, and he was buying a lot of stuff for the old outfit. I was like, wow, Opry Mills is your place, huh? How about that?
Buying a lot of stuff, but like outfits,
a lot of clothes,
like good clothes. Oh, yeah. I could see that.
It was going down. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. When Hines was first hired, he didn't have the most sterling reputation in terms of coaching ability. I really like him. I think he's done a good job. I'd like to know how you guys would rate him as a coach. And secondly, what do you think the Predators' main focus in terms of things needed to be corrected by the time the playoffs is? Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. I mean, Joe, I'll be honest, when they first hired John Hines, my first reaction was, really? You're hiring the guy that just got fired by the New Jersey Devils, and you've got this veteran group that you're trying to win with right now, and this is the way you're going? It kind of made me shake my head a little bit. He's done a really good job. Like, halfway through last year, you didn't know. It was going in the wrong direction, and they had a bunch of injuries, and their veteran players were not playing anywhere near where they were capable of playing, and you thought this could unravel pretty quickly. And then we know what's happened since then. They went on that magical run last year to the playoffs, and The style of play has just been a 180 from where they were this time 2-3 years ago, and I think they've become a really enjoyable team to watch again. I know for me, like this, I've had as much fun watching this Preds team this year as I've had in a long time watching the Predators play. So I think he's done a really good job. Is he ultimately going to be the coach that they win a Stanley Cup with? I don't know. I mean, I don't know on April the 5th today if I can sit here and predict that that's going to happen at any point, but I think he's done a really good job to this point.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you know, young coaches build resumes and then they win, you know. It can't all be like Peter DeBoer out there, you know. I mean, it's, you know, like at some point you have young talent who comes in and like, you know, Bob said didn't have a sterling reputation. I didn't think he had that much of one. I agree with what you're saying. It's like, boy, this seems like a coach for a young team that's kind of rebuilding, kind of higher, which is kind of what it was in New Jersey. Yeah. And they had the one playoff run. They had the crazy year with Taylor Hall, you know, but there wasn't that much of a track record. So I think it was good to keep an open mind. And I think he's done a lot here to improve his reputation as a coach. I don't see how you could look at what's gone on the last couple seasons and not be impressed. Yeah. I don't know where it's going. But if you tell me that at some point when he's done that he'll have his name on a cup, that's nothing that makes me raise my eyebrows right now. I mean, you gotta be, you know, in the right situation too and have teams that are good enough to do that.
Yeah, and you know, as far as what they need to work on coming down the stretch here, I mean, to me it starts tonight. Like this is a huge game for the Predators tonight. Not necessarily in terms of catching the Wild, because at this point, like, you can cross that bridge when you get there in terms of catching the Minnesota Wild, but you gotta find a way to get your game back on track. I mean, you look at the schedule coming down the stretch. I think they have the fourth hardest schedule remaining in the league coming down the stretch. I said this yesterday on Preds Insiders. You know, the silver lining is there's 14 games left. You've got 9 of them at home. So you need to take advantage of these home games as you try to put yourself in a good spot for the playoffs coming down the stretch here. And, you know, we've talked so much about Saros. He's got to be better. I think the puck management has to be better. I think they've done a really poor job as of late of taking care of the puck. And that's ended up going in transition opportunities the other way. That's allowed them to get hemmed into their zone at times where you can't get out and you just get worn down and you either take a penalty or you get scored on. Like, some of it is as simple as just make the right play with the puck and live to fight another day. So you just don't, you know, have these self-inflicted wounds. I mean, I don't think there's any question, and you could probably ask every guy in that locker room, and certainly you could ask the coaching staff. Their game right now as a whole is not where it needs to be coming down the stretch here in the regular season, and you've got to get back to playing that way. Your identity is one thing, but just simple puck execution is the other. That's where they've been really, I think, inconsistent lately.
Yeah, and I'd say maybe try scoring first at some point.
That would be helpful.
It seems like that never happens lately. What was it? Is it 8 of 9 games?
8 of 9, I think 6 in a row. Yeah. Where they've gotten scored on,
like,
first.
What would that be like to just have that where you aren't chasing a game midway through the first period every time? You know, that might help. Good start would help. And again, you can have a good start and then you can be behind 1-0.
Sure.
And I think that's probably happened a couple times in there, but maybe just a little bit more emphasis on that coming right out of the gate.
Well, and you know, I know people are going to hear this and some of them are going to roll their eyes because the point production is still there. I still think 5-on-5 lately, there's another level that Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne can get to and really need to get to. Like, if you're not going to get much from your second line, and at this point the body of work to me is large enough where I just don't think you are going to get much from your second line in terms of scoring as you head down the stretch, that puts more pressure on Johansson, Duchesne, and Forsberg to start scoring a little bit more. And I think they've been okay. Like, I don't think they played bad as of late, but you know, the St. Louis game is an unfair standard, but the St. Louis game a few weeks ago showed me what that line can be, and they've not looked like that as of late.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a standard they've set, but the reality for this team is that they have to be right there. They have to be right around there for this team to have success, given the secondary scoring that really hasn't materialized the way the Preds would have liked. So, no question, those guys have got to – it's not like the St. Louis game is on an island either. I mean, they've had some very good stretches. I mean, at times it's just like they're playing their own game out there, Duchesne and Forsberg. They need to get back to that, and that line has to be great. And, you know, Bob said, what do they need to do going into the playoffs? I mean, they're not in yet. Like, it's, you know, they got to get in to the playoffs. I mean, 83%, you know, you have a tough week, and all of a sudden that's down to, what, 60-something percent?
Yeah, I mean, you need to win two out of these next three games to me. Minnesota, Ottawa, Florida, and we'll get to, you know, the Pittsburgh stuff next week. But to me, you got two of these games at home. There's no reason for you to lose to Ottawa on the road. Like, you got to have that one, and you need to get one of Minnesota and Florida. Like, you need to start winning two out of three for the next little stretch. And, look, I get it. It's Minnesota. They're the hottest team in the league right now, and Florida's been the best team in the league all year. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do.
It's a big win either way.
But to me, 4 out of 6 points last week, you'll take it. Would have liked to have seen 6. 4 out of 6 points this week, you'll really take it. I would take that right now and not ask any questions if I'm a Preds fan.
Yeah. What if it's beating the two good teams and losing to Ottawa? I guess you still take it.
I guess I'd still take it. But
I mean, you'll still take it.
Then it leaves you like, whoa, the opportunity for 6 was there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there seems to be some momentum being generated for a certain position that the Titans could select in the first round. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.